Hi, and welcome to Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and I'm really excited to have Rob Weiss on with us today to talk about what's the deal with hookup apps. This episode of Her is sponsored by WellFit Malibu, the premier healthy lifestyle retreat destination where you can recharge your life hiking and frolicking on the majestic Calamigos Ranch overlooking the Pacific Ocean just outside of LA. Learn more at WellFit.com.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
All right, on this episode, we're thrilled to have Rob Weiss. Oh, heck, he's just a pal. He's the best. I've worked with Rob, and he is our go-to person on all things, oh my goodness, hookup apps. What's the deal with hookup apps? You know,
well,
it's interesting. What? Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's good to hear your voice, Dr. B.
Well, you know, you wrote, in my mind, and in everyone else's mind who has half an ounce of brains out there, the books on this whole issue of really what's going on with hookups, sex addiction, etc. Sex Addiction 101. Sex Addiction 101, the workbook. Cruise Control, Understanding Sex Addiction in Gay Men, Closer Together, Further Apart, and Always Turned On, Sex Addiction in the Digital Age, especially that last one. Oh my gosh, you're so prolific. And your website is Robert Weiss, that's WEISSMSW.com. So Rob, oh my goodness. You know, when people think about this whole issue of dating and back and forth, you know, the conversation almost immediately turns to Tinder. It's a popular dating app where the user swipes the pictures of their potential matches to the right, if they like what they see, to the left, if they don't. And, you know, it's been called a hookup app, but really, I mean, isn't it more like introductions? Could you help us? What is a hookup app and how do they work?
Well, first of all, thank you for the lovely introduction and the books and the good work that I get to do and that we've done together when we look at eating disorders and intimacy disorders. So we've had some good opportunities to grow the field a little bit, and I'm really grateful for that, Dr. Pete. But when we talk about hookup apps, it is really about, it's kind of, you know, I think in the 70s we would have called them hookup bars, and now we've got hookup apps. And so, you know, basically, what's interesting to me about them, one thing, is if you've never understood the word euphemism, which is a word that I think is often misunderstood in our culture, a euphemism for sex finder apps is what Apple and Android and all those companies call them. They call them adult friend finders. And don't all adults need a good friend, Dr. Peek? But Tinder in particular, which, by the way, the reason I mention the word euphemism is because they're sex apps. I mean, they're hookup apps. That's what they're there for. But these companies can't advertise them as sex and hookup apps because then they wouldn't be able to sell them. But as adult friend finders, that's such a nice ring to it. They're acceptable to download.
Absolutely.
And of course, if you say you're 18, then you're 18 as long as you press your finger on the button. So, in any case, Tinder in particular, let me just say in general what they are. These are apps for your phone, like, you know, like Google Maps or your photo app or any other app you put on your phone to find, you know, Yelp to find a good restaurant or whatever. Except these are geolocating applications that will find people who are looking for a partner, let's put it in quotes, now. So, and it will locate a partner for me now, male or female, straight or gay, depends on the app I'm on. Depending on the apps will also determine the age and all of that, because there's a bunch of them. And I can, you know, I'm sitting in the office and I really want to have some sex, so I just turn on my hookup app, and probably within an hour of a little bit of sexting and texting, I can take a long lunch, go out, have my sexual experience through my hookup app, because that's how I found the person and that's how they found me. And then I just delete it, and it's like it never happened. So hookup apps are ways to find people for dating and sex who are geolocated on your phone, and it also gives you their profiles and information. So if you and I were sitting in a bar, Dr. Peek, we wouldn't have to talk to anybody. We wouldn't have to ask anyone out. We wouldn't have to embarrass ourselves by saying, you know, would you like to have a, can I buy you a drink? you just simply get on your adult friend finder while you're in the bar and you see who else is around, because it will geolocate them.
Oh my goodness.
In the bar.
Well, okay. So in reading about this then, Rob, you know, when you look at things like OkCupid as well as Tinder, these are not dating sites. That's a misnomer. You've made that very clear. Now they're being called, well, you said an adult friend finder. They're introducing sites. Do you like that term, introducing sites? What do you think?
You know, I tend to tell things what they are, so I say they're a part of the sex app.
Absolutely.
But let me say
it's
this.
A sex app.
Let's go back in time, Dr. Peek, if we can, just to the way, way dawn of history, which is when we were
way younger. Dinosaurs ruled
the earth.
You know
that if you were single and you wanted, in 1980, and you were single and you put an ad in a newspaper, a personal, that was embarrassing, shameful. What it meant was you were a loser because you couldn't find somebody in church or work or somebody else, a neighbor, who you could date. So, you know, if you remember, it was horrible things that, you know, they even did things like coded numbers, and they collect the letters and send them. You weren't supposed to be connected.
I remember. Oh yeah.
And then along came the Harmony and Match and all that, and all of a sudden, personals became the hot thing to do. Now I can't imagine why anyone would feel badly about putting themselves in a personal ad in one of those environments, because you know it's a great way for, especially for an older person, I think, somebody using Match or Harmony to meet somebody and to grow a relationship and get a sense of who they are. But these are not that. When you get to Ashley Madison and Tinder and Grindr and apps like that, these really are about finding someone right away, right now, and meeting them right away. So, you know, I might be a Match or Harmony. Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, so I could be on Match or Harmony, and I could find you if you were single, and we could chat, and then we might plan for coffee next week. But if I'm Grindr or Ashley Madison, I'm looking for someone right now. So,
And you know, research shows that at least 30% of the people who use Tinder are already married. They're just looking for an app to get something on the side.
Really? I can't imagine that. Young people have sex outside their relationships. What a shock.
Oh, Rob, let me enlighten you about the reality of life here. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question about that. So, okay, let's talk about like an OkCupid thing. Right. So in OkCupid, is that kind of the place where, I mean, who uses that? Is it older people? Is it any age person? And is that a completely different category, or is there cross-pollination?
I think there's cross-pollination. You know, we've had, by the way, I just want to say we've had a couple of interesting terms come out of the hookup world, like Netflix and chill. You've probably heard that. So if someone puts on their Tinder or OkCupid or the page, and what they're looking for is to Netflix and chill. What that means is they want to go over to your house and have a glass of wine, have a movie, and have sex with you. Now I'm seeing a lot of Pokemon Go dates, which means let's walk down the street with our phones and see if we can catch some, you know, Asian animals that are flying through the air, and also let's go have sex. I will say that people use OkCupid and those, they do use them to, I mean, certainly there are people who say on their profile, I'm looking for a friend. I'm looking to date. I won't respond to sex or your sexual pictures or, you know, and that's certainly true. But I really do think there are a lot of people out there who want to have sex, and they're looking to have sex with someone who's not going to call them the next day and say, where's the flowers? Where's the candy? And why don't you call? Where's the next date? They kind of want to have their sexual experience like going to a good lunch. It was really, or going to the gym. It was a good workout, and that was nice. And see you later. And these applications offer an opportunity to do that without fairly anonymously.
Okay, but Rob, let's look at the downside. What are the dangers of using hookup apps like, you know, the Craigslist killer?
I certainly would suggest that anybody, male or female, you know, let somebody know where they're going, make sure that, you know, check in with a person when they're there, you know, do sensible things so that you're not out there completely by yourself and you have some accountability, whatever you're doing. Because let's face it, someone who you go to coffee with can drag you into the garage. I mean, it isn't necessarily that the danger is going to happen in a hookup. However, of course, women in particular, walking to a stranger's house or dorm room, you don't know who he is or what you're going to find there or what situation you're going to be encountering that you may not be able to get out of. So it does present challenges, although I promise you that the greatest challenge is not rape or violence. It's more, you don't look like that picture.
Oh, come on, Rob. Is that for real? Because I'm going to be honest, you know, I would think personally that it would be terrifying to, you know, be, you know, meeting someone you've never met before and then getting, you know, intimate with them. Because one, you know, you could be picking up diseases and whatever. Two, they can, you know, slip something in your drink and then, you know, take full advantage of you. And three, I mean, just you could get killed. I mean, whatever. Those are the things that float through my mind.
But Dr. Peek, when you were in college, you were actually studying, and some of us when we were in college, we were doing drugs and having lots of sex. So not all of us think the same way you do. And I would imagine there are people who are not. I mean, it's not like everyone's doing this. I do think there is a trend line toward younger, because younger is where people want to experiment and kind of have pleasurable sexual experiences without worrying necessarily about, you know, who the person is or if we're going to have a relationship. And I see them again being used by older people in relationships when they want to cheat. So,
when you say that, that's really important. So you're saying that the actual use of the hookup apps trends much younger. Would you say millennials? I mean, 20s, 30s?
Most of the people that I see on these apps, because I'm spending all day long looking for sex, that was a joke.
I don't think so.
Not anymore. I would say the majority of the people that are on these apps are in their 20s and are millennials. Certainly on some of the married apps, like, you know, Ashley Madison, you'll see older people. Interestingly, you will sometimes see older people on the younger person's apps, and younger people sometimes want to be with an older person. So, you know, you just never know. I would say the majority of folks, you know, it really is about technology. How familiar and comfortable are you with technology? And then you have to be pretty familiar and comfortable or really stupid before you start sending naked pictures of yourself across the internet. I mean, let us not forget Anthony Weiner, who apparently thought that Twitter was a hookup app because he put his penis on Twitter. So you got to know technology and feel fairly comfortable with it before you're going to start, you know, down this road. And it tends to be younger folks who have that facility with social media.
Well, Rob, you know, in listening to you right now, I'm thinking, are we in the process of literally redefining relationships? Mm-hmm. From one end of the spectrum to the sort of instantaneous hookup to the other end of the spectrum for the sustainable long-term relationship. What happened there? And if all these 20-year-olds are now using this, what do you think is going to be happening when they actually want to develop a long-term relationship? Is this going to change things?
You know, that's such a great question, I want to say Pam, because no offense, Pam, Dr. Peek. Because what I see happening is, for healthy people, I'm not going to talk about people who have issues where they might end up addicted or misusing, you know, or hurting themselves using these kind of apps, but people who are just sort of casually using them as a part of their life experience, you know, I think that what I'm seeing happening is it's almost like the stages of development are coming at a different time. And I'll explain this. So, you and I were in high school, Dr. Pete, if we wanted to have sex, and I'm not saying you did or didn't, but if you did, you probably had to go on a date with someone, and you probably had to ask them out, and you probably had to hold their hand, and you probably had to take them to the movies, and you probably had to figure out how to negotiate the skills of intimacy before you get to the sex. And that's not to say, ladies, that every, you know, guy in high school asked you out didn't care for you, but he also wanted to have sex with you. I mean, that's probably true. But if he was going to, or she was going to, that person had to learn how to negotiate, holding your hand, putting their arm around you, what to say that is not offensive, what is kind, what is generous, what invites the person in versus pushing them away. So in essence, I think many of us Gen Xers and boomers, we learn how to negotiate our way to intimacy and relationship as a part of looking for sex. However, now I'm hearing young men and some young women come into our offices, because this is what I treat, saying things like, I've used a lot of porn and I've hooked up, you know, a lot with people I don't know, but how do you go on a date? Because my friends are 24 and they're starting, or 25 or whatever, they're starting to get into relationships and dating, and I don't know how to do that exactly. And to me, that is not necessarily, you know, dis-ease, but more a reordering of development, where these people are learning how to have sex and how to have casual sex and how to, and they're learning lots of stuff from porn, good and bad, but actually negotiating intimacy is unfamiliar in when it comes to sexual and romantic intimacy.
And so what do you tell them? Because that's a really, really good question. You know, how do you transition them from this, you know, very quick, intimate, you know, type of pattern to something right. that's more sustainable? Like, you know, those 25-year-olds you were mentioning who are starting to, you know, like live together and have sustainable relationships. How do you help them through that?
Well, you know, Dr. Peek, I know that your area of expertise has traditionally been food. And so I would say to you much the same thing. You know, how do you take someone who's really raised on, you know, corn doodles and orange foods that aren't microwavable, won't even blow up, and Twinkie Dinks? You know, lots of kids grew up on, you know, Fruit Loops. And how do you take someone like that who's really never had decent food until they're 18 and convince them that eating vegetables and good food will make them feel good and they'll enjoy it when by the time they're 20 they haven't really had much of that? And it's really the same thing, because I think healthy people gravitate toward health when it's offered to them. So what I see is when these guys come in my office, you know, I say, hey, well, the porn's gone. No more porn and no more hookup apps. We're done with that. Let's look at dating, relationships, recreation, social engagement. You know, how can you go out there and have fun and experience pleasure, but not the immediate pleasure of getting off sexually, looking at porn or hookup apps or all that? And the healthy men and women that I work with seem to have no problem putting down the porn, putting down the apps or whatever it is, and going on. And once they start really experiencing social and relational joys, you know, it's great to hang out with people. It's great. You know, part of what's happened, and I just want to drop this in there, is for healthy young kids, you know, even if you have the best of circumstances, high school sucks, you know. It's going to have trauma around dating. It's going to have trauma around friendships. It's going to have trauma around social groups. I mean, those are the most difficult things you negotiate when you're going through high school. By the time you're 24, you're pretty comfortable in your skin around social environments for the most part. But not if you spend all your time in your room looking at porn or hooking up with strangers. So a lot of what I have to do is really introduce people to the pleasures of social relationships that they kind of skipped in high school because they were doing other things. They were gaming, they were porn, you know, they weren't present. And now they actually want to engage. So it's a matter of exposing them the things that are joyful and healthy, but not as immediately satisfying. And they tend to gravitate toward that, and they don't really need to go back to the apps or the porn. It's more the vulnerable people who, you know, get stuck in that stuff.
Interesting. And when you say vulnerable people, what do you mean by that? Vulnerable? What makes someone more vulnerable to, you know, getting addicted to using hookup apps, to not being able to do that natural transition to maybe a long-term relationship?
Right. Well, you know, again, Dr. Peek, you need to be a big, big star because your questions are so great. I think that someone who grows up with healthy support, intimacy, dependency on parents, someone who has a nurturing, someone who learns from day one, you know, how important they are, how special they are, how loved they are, both physically and, you know, relationally with a set of parents. You know, I do believe that when you grow up, you kind of long for that kind of connection, for that kind of bonding, for that kind of community that a healthy family brings. So, you know, a lot of the healthy people come in and say, oh, yeah, I'm done with that app. I'm done with that porn. I want to start hanging out with people. And they do, and they start enjoying it. But if you think about people who haven't had a good experience of being cared for growing up, people who've had abuse or violence or sexual issues or mental health issues or addiction in the family, people who didn't learn that turning to other people for nurturing and in a trusting act would reward them. And lots of us, unfortunately, learned that reaching out for a hug or to be listened to or, you know, wasn't always a good experience growing up because of some of the experiences we had growing up. And I find that there's a group of people who I would say are let's say, intimacy phobic. They're afraid of intimacy. They don't run to make themselves vulnerable to someone. It feels like it could be overwhelming or hurtful. And for some of those, because that's what they learned growing up in their earliest days, they learned that intimacy and closeness was not necessarily going to be rewarding. And they kind of learned, you know, people have this kind of trauma that they're kind of on their own in life. So, you know, when vulnerable, when having a hard day, when under stress, you know, they'll turn to drugs and alcohol. So they'll turn to eating or they'll turn to sex. And those people are actually using those behaviors as a substitute for a deep, meaningful connection and intimacy. They're literally turning to behaviors and substances rather than people to make themselves feel more alive, feel better, feel comforted and all of that, because they didn't learn that people would be comforting early in life. And that's kind of what I'm talking about.
I think that that is amazing. And, you know, when our Her podcast listeners are really taking notes on this, I bet a lot of them are sitting back saying, wow, you know, that explains a lot. If they've had trauma, abuse, abandonment, neglect, all kinds of issues as they were growing up, especially in childhood and adolescence, this really does lay down a foundation for troubled relationships because there's an issue of trust. How do you trust when perhaps you've been betrayed, neglected, abandoned? It's really difficult. And I think that, you know, you're an expert in all things relationships. I think that a lot of people would really greatly benefit by seeking counsel and guidance from someone like you. Mm-hmm. Meaning that I think across the United States, as women are listening to this, I would highly recommend you get a little bit of help, maybe straightening out some of these details, because it's mm-hmm. very difficult. We tend to sweep them under the carpet, and we don't want to deal with them because maybe we don't know how to deal with them. There's a lot of pain involved, right, Rob?
Well, and especially when it involves sex, right? Because, you know, and we really haven't talked about women's issues in particular, so I'm glad you brought us to that, because a lot of what I've been talking about is what guys are dealing with. You know, guys, we are hearing things about porn-induced erectile dysfunction, which means, you know, the guys are looking at so much porn that when they actually get to a relationship, they're not aroused because they've been so hyper-stimulated for so long by the porn that they literally don't get aroused with a real person. And or the guys who don't know how to date, and or the guys who look at porn and they think that's what sex is, and then they expect a woman to be like kind of like a bowling ball, you know, and I won't say more, except there's lots of holes to bowling balls and you put your fingers in them. So anyway, you could have probably figured that one out. But anyway, I think women, so from a woman's perspective, part of what I'm seeing, certainly I'm seeing women, healthy women who are becoming more comfortable having casual sex than they ever were before. Even generationally, if you think about it, some of the things that we did or might have sought out sexually were very different than our parents did in the 40s and 50s. And so in like a way, I think young people are having different kinds of sexual experiences and growth experiences that are different than the ones that we had. And that doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just what their generation is doing. But if you are already pre-wired to avoid intimacy, to be frightened of deep and enduring closeness, which we all long for, then you might just go after the substitute over and over again. It's kind of like, you'll like this, Dr. Peake, it's like eating potato chips when you're hungry. You know, I can use a hookup app or I can use porn and all of that, but it's not like it's ever going to really meet my deeper needs for affection and intimacy. But anyway, I was talking about women. So let me just say quickly two things about women. One of the things that I'm seeing in women is they are confused. Young women seem to be confused by some of the interests that men are showing, young men are showing sexually, you know, around anal sex, around, you know, all kinds of things that they may not have anticipated, may not be comfortable with, but boy, porn shows a lot of it. And so if you're a guy who looks at porn, you know, and that's 70 or 80% of your exposure to what sexuality is, then you might think that's what everybody does. And we are seeing these women come in who are saying, I'm feeling really pressured to do things I don't like. I feel like guys want to get to the sex right away because if I don't do it with them, they'll just find somebody else on the app who will. So I think there, and this isn't universal. As I said, there are women who are enjoying casual sex in ways that, you know, maybe your generation didn't or my generation didn't. And I never thought that women would be interested in going and having sex without some kind of sense of intimacy or connection, but women are doing a fair amount of hooking up and there are generational shifts around that. But that's not the same as feeling, like you got to do what the person's asked you to do or, you know, whether it's to stay in the relationship or to get a relationship. And I think women are struggling. I've talked to a number of young women who say they've just given up on dating because of what they're asked to do or what they feel, the kind of pressures they're feeling with young men.
You know, I really think, you know, and I'm just going to put it out there, Rob, that there's a gender specificity to this whole thing. And I think that women, yes, there is more casual sex going on. I still think that they're, you know, deep inside, they're still looking for that long, you know, lasting relationship, that, you know, the officer and a gentleman moment, that type of thing. I could be wrong. I could be dead wrong. I just think that especially among the ones who are now starting to course through their 20s, you know, from 25 mm-hmm. to 29, et cetera, that they're really starting to look for something different. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. You know, there's social and class issues here. Hannah Rosen, I don't know if she's a great author. She writes for The Atlantic very frequently, and she wrote an article on young women in the hookup culture last summer or two summers ago. It's a fascinating article, and she's a pretty ardent feminist. So her belief was that young women were hooking up and using the hookup apps because they felt pressured, because they weren't able to get a boyfriend otherwise, you know, that kind of thing, as we were saying. So she went to about 25 college campuses and interviewed 1,500 women who were college-educated young women, and she was asking them about the hookups. And what she found was that, yes, some women felt pressure, they felt uncomfortable, but the majority of women thought it was an advantage because they felt, and you'll love this, I think, they felt that being 20 or 24 or 25 and being in undergrad or graduate school, they wanted to focus on their schooling. They want to focus on their education. They don't want to focus on men and dating and sex, but they still have emotional needs and physical needs. So what Hannah Rosen was talking about is that she's seen a lot of young college-educated women kind of do what men have always done, which is have a good enough boyfriend that you sleep with occasionally or some good enough person to take to the movies and a dance or whatever, but you're not necessarily deeply interested in that person. It's more like an F-buddy, if you will. And that for that age generation in that class, it makes sense because they know they're going to be distracted from their doctorate or from their graduate school, from whatever it is, by a relationship. And they don't, it's the complete opposite. You know, in the 60s, women went to college to meet a man. And now women are going to college to learn. And so now they're acting much more like men always did, which is, I don't want to get too pulled into this thing. I just want to stay focused on my studies, but I still have these needs. So, hey, hookups offer the ideal sort of solution to that problem, which is I can have my experience and then get back to my studies. I'm not so sure that it works the same way in among different classes of women or women that don't have those advantages. I think it's a whole different ballgame for some of them.
I think that's fascinating. And then the final thing is friends with benefits. So, you know, you're in college, you're doing your gig, or wherever you may be, even at work, and you're really great friends with, you know, a guy. And then you just start to do the hookup thing, but you can still maintain that friendship, and it's not going to be going to the big long-term whatever, and you have some discussion about that somewhere along the line about this is all it's really about. So we haven't used an app there, right?
You might have been in your dorm room, or you may have.
Yeah, maybe you might have you know met that person through an app, but then it evolves into this friends with benefits. Yeah,
and you might have two
very
or three
interesting.
Of them.
Very.
But what was
interesting.
Your question?
Well, you know, it just where friends with benefits fit into this whole thing about hookup apps.
Well, I think that's what this is. I mean, I think you know that this is friends with benefits. Basically, it's just. Look at it this way. You'll like this too, Dr. Pete. For a generation that has grown up, and this is not a negative in any way, it's just a reality. For a generation that has grown up in an environment where they can call 200 people a friend, I think you can have lots of friends with benefits, and that simply mirrors the world that you have, you know, been living in the digital world. Because, you know, my friends, when I was growing up, because we didn't have that opportunity, there was no Facebook. You had four friends, you had three friends, you had five friends, you know, you had two good friends. No one ever said I had 300 friends. and I'm not saying that people are that literal, but I do think there's an expanded sense of superficial relationships having more meaning than they did when we were younger, pre-internet, pre-digital world.
I think that is such a brilliant point. I really do. That we used to blow that off. A superficial relationship was just not worth it, and it was devalued mm-hmm. big time. Now it turns out that this friends with benefit thing really tends to be much more of value and of use let alone of service, to the people who are actually engaged in it. I think that point is extremely well taken. I mean, we could just go on forever because, Rob, you
we
are
do.
Literally a fount of knowledge. Well, Rob, any excuse to hang with you, you know? I mean, you are so amazing. You are one of the nation's leading experts on all things sex addiction, knowing all about the digital age and how that figures into our relationships and literally hooking up with people, how that really is evolving over time. Your books are just amazing. The go-to seminal texts, and that's always turned on, Sex Addiction in the Digital Age, Sex Addiction 101, and also Sex Addiction 101, the workbook. Your wonderful website is Robert Weiss, that's WEISSMSW, that's a master's in social work.com. Rob, as always, nothing but a pleasure to play in your sandbox. Hey, we've been talking about what's the deal with hookup apps with Rob Weiss. Now, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take, 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. Yeah, and that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, can you leave a review as well? Hey, remember, my mother reads these things. Make it good. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And you can also check out our Her Radio show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Hey, thanks for listening and stay well.